131873 is that telephone number. Well, was today the start of the end of Rail Fail, or was it the start of Rail Fail 2.0? From today, another 430 services, meaning that there's a regular timetable from Monday to Friday. There's also 85 additional trains at peak periods. And 59 trains have been converted from three-car to six-car passenger trains, which gives an extra, they say, 200,000 seats a week. Now, the CEO of Queensland Rail, Nick Easy, told our newsroom earlier today that he is confident it will be smooth sailing from here on in.
We're confident that we'll be able to reliably and sustainably provide this timetable. We have undertaken the largest recruitment program for train drivers that's ever been undertaken in the organisation's history. We have 177 new drivers that have come into supply. That's 108 net drivers on our network. So these drivers and guards that have come out of our recruitment program will support the delivery of this timetable.
A lot of overtime is being paid, and the latest Fixing the Trains progress report shows that Queensland Rail won't reach a driver surplus, which would allow it to operate at standard, normal overtime levels until December of next year, which is a year later than expected. Now, the Transport Minister, Mark Bailey, is promising that this massive overtime bill for drivers and guards is coming down.
Well, what we're seeing is the overtime bill is coming down compared to 2016 October, 8.5% reduction in overtime because we're training and getting more drivers into the system. That's the simple thing. Is if you're training drivers and adding to them to the system, then the overtime will improve, and that's what we're seeing.
Now, the Courier-Mail reported back in April that Queensland Rail was paying its drivers more than $400,000, close to $500,000, half a million dollars a week in overtime. New QR figures have shown that drivers are earning up to $70,000 a year in overtime with a total wage of more than $225,000. Now, the Deputy Opposition Leader, Tim Mander, has called on the Transport Minister, Mark Bailey, to release the overtime budgets for the restored timetable and says there is a long way to go before rail services are back to normal.
The only way that this government can get anywhere near normal services is by paying exorbitant amounts of overtime. How do you think teachers and nurses feel when they hear that train drivers are earning up to $225,000 a year? Guards, $185,000 a year. This is simply outrageous.
Well, it's certainly good money, and is it the end of Rail Fail, or are we starting another time of turbulence for the rail network? One man that has been very vocal about what is wrong with Queensland Rail, and hopefully can see some light at the end of the tunnel, pardon the pun, is Robert Dow from Rail Back on Track, and he joins me now. Robert, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Anecdotally, any word back from commuters this morning how the peak was?
Yeah, we had a couple of feedbacks on issues related to short delays with due to rolling stock issues. There are a number of Kippering trains were affected, delayed up to about 11 minutes. One service was cancelled inbound at Lawton, which meant that passengers had to get out and catch the following train. There's only four or five, but it's still a little bit concerning. We're a little bit worried about the constant rolling stock issues that are coming through on the service disruptions. For example, without them, there was only one delay due to emergency incident this morning. That'd almost be 100%. So we think that they need to pay a little more attention, perhaps to try to sort out some of these constant rolling stock issues. We think they may be door issues with regards to the new generation rolling stock. We still have some aged trains, pretty old trains running around. They're progressively being decommissioned as the new generation rolling stock trains are introduced on the network. There's around 60 running at the moment, but we're still to see a significant improvement in on-time running reliability, which we haven't seen at the moment. So hopefully things will improve in that regard. But I think the timetable itself was successfully delivered this morning. They do have 108 more train drivers than they had with the failed attempt at this timetable in October 2016, so that's going to make a bit of a difference, an extra 108 train drivers. we're fairly confident that Queensland Rail would not have restored the timetable today unless they were very confident they could deliver it, and I'm sure they have done some fairly detailed workforce planning analysis to make sure that they can.
You mentioned the 108 drivers there, Robert. They need almost double that, though. Is this a very fragile start, and to try and overcome rail failure? Is there still problems that could, explode?
Well, as I said, it depends on the level of overtime that they're actually running. All rail operators do have a level of overtime to cope with contingencies such as extra services for the football and things like that, cover a bit of illness. One of the factors that did contribute to the breakdown in 2016 was that the levels of overtime were considered to be unsustainable at that time. That came through in the Strawn report. That was one of the factors that he highlighted. I think QR were running at 30% plus overtime, which is fairly high. Most railway operators tend to work around 10 to 15%. We'd like to think that QR is getting down to that. They're probably a little bit higher than that at the moment. They also have 75 train drivers in training at the moment, and they have taken steps to improve the rate that these drivers are coming through to drive trains. They've shortened the driver training from 18 months to 12 and a half months, and they've also done some things like this training for sectors, which gets people through quicker, and then get them out on the network driving trains. So, yeah, look, we're confident that QR can deliver this timetable this time, but we think that issues such as rolling stock reliability don't help.
That was going to be my next question. It seems to me, from listening to what you've said now and what you've said in the past, it's all well and good to have the drivers, it's all well and good to have the timetable, but you need the trains to actually put the people in working properly.
Exactly right. There is a bit of an issue in terms of the number of trains that we've got coming up to Cross River Rail. When Cross River Rail is completed in 2024, to deliver the services that they've projected they will be delivering, they'll need another 50 trains, another 56-car train. We've only got up to 75 new generation rolling stock, so there's a little bit of work to be done in that space as well, Mark. But overall, I think passengers will be quite happy with the restoration of the October 2016 timetable because, it gives them a consistent timetable Monday to Friday. One of the very frustrating features of the reduced service timetable was, of course, that different timetable on Fridays. Well, that's gone. The three carriage trains at peak, they're finished. They're all six carriage trains now. That makes it a lot better because there's obviously more room. People were avoiding the three-car peak services because of crowding. So now they can just get the service that they like without having to worry about whether it's three or six cars. So that's welcome. And the extra services overall, particularly at peak, will be very welcome.
Interesting to see what happens Friday too, as you mentioned, back to a Monday to Friday timetable. People won't know what to do.
No, they'll be looking for the weird gaps and wondering why there's so many trains coming through, which will be, that's a very good outcome. What we'll be doing in the future, we think there's... we've lost 2 years, 9 months of potential service improvements, haven't we, going back to October 2016. So in the coming months, we'll start advocating for service improvements. We think one of the first cabs off the rank should be the Sunshine Coast Line. They were promised 1 hour frequency out of peak in 2016. Still hasn't been delivered. They've got gaps 90 minutes or longer between trains. It's hideous. Wow. And between Nambour and Gympie North, there's only two trains per day. We're getting new stations up there. Coran's finished. Pomona's almost finished. Yamundi's about to be started. So there's, they're building new stations, but there's no trains.
Well, they'll win an award for the cleanest train stations in the country then, won't they?
That's right.
A bit like the Yes Minister episode.
Yeah, and the people along the line in the Gold Coast, the Sunshine Coast Inland, are very keen to use rail because it's a safe way of getting around. Mm-hmm. It's very convenient for them to get into Nambour to conduct their business. They go to the hospital there and so forth. So we'd like to see improvements not only between Brisbane and Nambour, but also Nambour and Gympie North. It's well overdue, Mark. Doomben Line, we've got a first-class transport asset there, grossly underutilised. Poor train frequency out of peak. Trains finish at 7 p.m. Trains don't even run on a Sunday. Come on, it's time that we had seven-day trains on the Doomben Line and frequency which is commensurate with the rest of the network.
Good to talk to you, mate. We might touch base at the end of the week to see how the week's been.
Certainly, Mark. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Robert Dowd from Rail back on track, and hopefully this week will be the start of the end of Rail Fail when you consider that there's going to be an extra 200,000 seats a week, an extra 85 additional trains at peak periods, another 430 services, meaning that Monday to Friday will be a regular timetable. None of this Monday to Thursday and Friday being different. It'll be back to somewhat close to normality, and hopefully the new drivers will come online and we'll be able to get even more services and get that wages bill down so that we get more people employed. And that's another thing. We talk about the unemployment in this state, and it's all well and good for these drivers to be getting paid close to $70,000 in overtime. What about we actually employ more people and spread that money around so that more people are off the unemployment benefits and into full-time work? Same for guards, $38,000 for them in overtime. We could go a long way to employing more people. The more we can employ, the lower that overtime figure becomes. 131873 is that telephone.